Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello.
Miranda Doyle, we want to talk about your memoir, A Book of Untruths.
Yes.
Which, you know, as a memoir title, is as paradoxical.
Yes. And I wanted to be as truthful as I could be. But then when I realized that memoir itself is very, very difficult to be truthful in, because you cut things out, you change characters' names, you organize it in a way that life wasn't organized. And so I just thought it would be fun to be very obvious about the fact that it's all a lie.
That it is a story that you are telling.
Yes.
And a story is necessarily edited.
Yes.
And curated.
Exactly.
And certainly from your point of view as you were the writer.
Yes.
And so it's arranged around a number of lies.
Yes.
Literally. Numbers.
Yes.
Numbered lies.
Yes.
Tell me about it as you conceived it.
Well, I think for me the most important person was the reader. So I've been bracingly honest, I hope, about myself. And I hope I come off worst. But it meant that my brothers, so I write about them a lot. I love David Sedaris. And they're such brilliant characters as well. I just could not write about them. But I was worried they would sue me. And so I didn't show it to them till the last minute. And didn't sleep for months worrying. But they've been incredibly generous.
But I also think that right there encapsulates the family dynamic.
Yes. You're so right.
Anxiety, potential lawsuits, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't just call them up and say, no, nothing as straightforward as that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I really thought about it like that. But yeah, we're a very complicated family, and yeah, there's lots of ways we could trip up with one another.
Because lies, your family seems to have sort of, and I make the comparison with the Catholic Church, sort of
yes.
institutionalized within it.
Yes, yes. And I do think that particularly my father, his take on his Catholicism was how useful it can be to deceive others. You know, the mental, you know, the idea that it's only when you tell a lie out loud that you're actually lying. You know, if you just keep things to yourself, that's not fibbing at all. And so all of that he utilized very well. But what was so surprising was that the other side of my family, who are all very Protestant and stiff upper lip, they're such bad liars too. I was shocked.
Yes. There's a lot of infidelity.
Yes, there's a lot.
Physical, verbal, etc.
Yes.
I want to, you know, sort of in brief give a, for the purposes, again, as the
yes.
curated, for the purposes of this memoir, about the untruths that formed your family. So your mother's family, her father was not necessarily her father.
Yes, yes. And that was deeply shocking to realize that, because of course as Protestant upper middle class, you know, those sort of things don't happen to those sort of people at all, do they? But my father, from a poor Irish background, of course lots can happen to them, and so you always got the sense that was the bad side but with a good side. Mm-hmm. And so when I discovered that my mother was illegitimate, that was shocking, really. Mm-hmm. Really shocking. Yes.
So then let's get to your father. So he was married before your mother.
Yes.
And his wife died. And
yes.
There's various lies or etc. around that.
Yes. She, his first wife, had a very difficult birth. And I guess in the 60s, it's still a sort of life-changing experience, isn't it? It can go very badly and things can happen. And so she was told never to fall pregnant again. But my father had a libido like no other. And with the Catholic belief, you're not allowed to use contraception. So that, so she'd kind of ruled sex out completely. But he, I think he found that very, very literally frustrating. Mm. And so I'm speculating that perhaps she died from an illegal abortion. But I'm not, I can't categorically know that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of...
Yes.
Untold.
Exactly.
Untold. Therefore not lies, but just the wild untold.
Yes.
Around her death. But almost immediately after her death, your father went about replacing her.
Because, absolutely, yeah.
Because he had, you know, okay, so you have the twin drives of Catholicism. Catholicism is to, you know, you have to procreate. And yet, but she couldn't.
Yes.
So they had a child and then they adopted another
yes.
boy.
Yes.
To fulfill that side of things.
Exactly.
So he has two young boys.
Yes.
And he needs a mother.
He needs a mother.
Young boys.
And the adopted child, my brother, Sean, is, you know, unlike anyone you'll ever meet. He is, he's brilliant, but a lot of work. And so he needed to get someone else in to deal with it. But also his anxiety, I think, in the 60s that as a man on your own, your children would be taken into care. And he had come from a very poor background where they worried about being taken into care and being shipped off to Australia or just put in a care home.
That was a reality.
Yes.
Yeah. So the social was not to be allowed in.
Yes. And so all of his brothers and sisters, and he had seven, they all absolutely hated social workers, which is a terrible thing to say because social workers are trying to do their best. But as a child, he'd felt they were the enemy.
Mm. And so enter stage left, your mother.
Yes, poor woman. And yes, he gets her pregnant before he asks to marry her. And she has an illegal abortion because it was before that was legalized in this country. And yet she still continues to think that she must marry this man, which, again, I suppose in our day, we don't understand that. But I think then you were kind of locked in. Once that had happened, you were locked in for life. And that's actually what happened.
Well, I think we do understand it. Not knowing any better. I mean, there's
yes.
parallels in our own lives.
True.
I think you and I shared some experiences unbeknownst to each other, but feeling like we had to be involved in certain sexual situations.
Yes.
When we clearly didn't, but yet there's this behavioral pull. There's a normative pull. There's a self-loathing pull.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think it struck me as your parents' marriage and the fact that they stayed married was they were sort of locked into a three-legged race that they just, you know, and nobody cut the cord, you know?
Yes.
Nobody thought, you know, nobody was looking down like, oh, you know what we could have done?
But it's so interesting what you say about, because one wonders whether it's about women that we enable it. That three-legged race, because we feel we need to perform and we need to act in particular ways, and marriage is sacrosanct, and all, that's what my mother would have believed. Yes, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
So tell me, because it has been described, and I'm certain it felt that way, as a rather terrifying childhood. There was a lot of unpredictable behavior.
Yes.
It's funny, your father, it didn't come through in any way that he was an alcoholic, but his behavior, his rages.
Yes.
Sounded like really like an alcoholic's rage.
Okay.
You know, that unpredictability that your brother describes. Like, you know, you do something really bad and you get a laugh and, you know, but minor infractions, you know, beaten to within
yes.
an inch of your life. That, and that constant rage and what's going to set you off and what, you know,
yes.
that's drama, drama, drama.
Yes. And I think the unpredictability, you're completely right. That's what's so scary, because you don't know what's going to happen next. And he was a big man. And I think I didn't get beaten, and I think both my elder brothers really resented that, mm-hmm. that I wouldn't have seen the belt as much as they did. But the fact that they were being beaten in front of me was always horrible, absolutely horrible. I'd have much preferred it to have been me.
I remember, because my, you know, kids sort of in families get scapegoated.
Yes.
I remember my sister being punished and not being able to, you know, suppress a grin of relief that it wasn't me. And, like, the shit shame of that, you know what I mean, that you carry around. You know, it's just like, it's all horrid and disgusting and churning and living on eggshells. I mean, it's like, how much adrenaline can a person house?
Yes.
I mean, like, if we could make things run, like your family as kids, if we just siphon off the adrenaline.
Yes. But I'm working in a lab where they are seeing how we inherit stress. And that's what's so shocking. The idea that we've had eggs inside us all of this time. What on earth? What kind of state are they in?
Oh, my God. That just does. Well, because as you point out, I was adopted. And as you point out, like with an illegitimate father, but your mother growing up with your father, you inherit it all. And it's to what always struck me, just as naturally, it made sense that nature, you know, that nurture will bring out what is in there in nature,
yes,
but to varying degrees depending on what what nature has put in there. And science bears out the old wives' tale. But I mean, all of that stuff. Give us one, because I thought there were various attempts of your father to break free, from the shackles of you lot. Talk to me about his job in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, he accepted a job in Saudi Arabia. And I didn't realize at the time, but there was a lot of panic about the fact at home that no one was getting a visa. I wasn't getting a visa. My brother wasn't getting a visa. My mother. And we were stuck. And it wasn't until he died that my mother said, I think he'd never intended us to go with him. And she'd only sort of woken up to that after his death as well. And I think some people are able to create a fiction that's so big around them that it's only once they've gone that you can see the truth. It's shocking, really shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, because the layers. And also it's just too, I mean, this goes to the heart of your book. It's not even the lies that, the most damaging lies aren't the ones that we tell other people. It's the lies that we tell ourselves.
Yes.
And
yes.
The constructs, you know, it's too big to look at directly.
Yes, and I think, they say that the more self-deceiving we are, the more successful. So why would we want to give up those lies? Because to be really truthful with ourselves means to go to bed. Take to it.
Yes, the world, it's already, the hand basket is here. The hell has come. Hide. Yeah.
So yes, we need to keep our fiction together, and I think whole families create a fiction, and the more we attach to that fiction, the more it forces all of us to lie, all the children to lie, aunts and uncles lie, everyone's having a really great time. Our family is very happy. And the distance between that and the truth, if that distance is huge, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's really exhausting.
So keeping that sandcastle propped up.
And I don't know. I suppose what I was so aware of was being a mother myself, just how unable I was to mother. Because I just didn't have the equipment. No one had kind of been mothering me. And it was very scary. And that sort of sense of, I'm just making this up. Someone's going to find me out. Oh, it was just horrendous.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. And I remember flying off the handle in a rage. Anyone growing up in my house would be familiar with. It was about soft toy accumulation,
okay,
proliferation, taking over the, I could go on, but and realizing, oh God, And saying to my son, I'm really sorry. I'm not always a great mother. I didn't have a great example.
Yes, yes. And I think that's the only thing that we can do is try and be more honest with ourselves and be more honest with them.
Mm.
But it is, you can see how it's just, I was a lazy liar. And I think it is, laziness sometimes is at the root of it. That it's just quite difficult to be truthful.
Well, perhaps you were exhausted. the lie muscle was sort of shot after using it for so long.
But I have married someone who is at the coalface of, well, truth is probably too big a word, but the facts, because as a scientist, you have to be motivated by uncovering the facts. The facts are incredibly important. That's professionally the most important thing going on. So I've pulled up my socks. And this book was partly about becoming more honest. And you can have a much better relationship with somebody else that you love if you just tell the truth a bit more. Mm-hmm. And that was a revelation.
Well, and also what struck me, the parallel with me, is it seemed to me when you met your future husband, he was a beacon to you, beacon of how to be better.
Yes.
Was a beacon of betterness.
Yes.
Like, I want to be like that.
You should see his face when I do the lazy lying. Because, of course, it's so much easier. I still do it a lot. You know, where you pretend that you're doing something really important because you don't want to go around for dinner with somebody else or you can't do that. And his face just, you know, he just... it's like a little Venetian blind in the forehead.
Right, we're doing that, are we? Okay, I'll pretend too. Yeah. Great, let's do that. Yeah. Okay, so tell me about how you came to write this book and how writing, you know, how you've turned.
Well, I write to sleep. I'm a very poor sleeper. So I was supposed to be writing a novel. But at night, I would just dash off these lies, and I absolutely loved doing it. And they were fun. And organizing, just trying to uncover lies and see if I could get them down. And it was an incredible experience to be doing this and thinking no one would ever read them. You know, that was the point. They were just for me and just really enjoyable. And it was only shame that I sent them out because I wasn't working full time. And everyone says, so what are you doing, Miranda? Oh, I'm writing. And then...
I know.
And then I don't have the courage to send anything out. And I sent these out thinking that they'd be rejected like everything else I've written. And within 3 hours, someone was back. I know.
You're like, oh shit.
No. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, that was so not supposed to happen. No one was supposed to call my bluff on that.
Absolutely.
Now you listen to me? Now? Shit. Okay, what did I write again?
Well, there was this sort of sense that you can write fiction, but actually to get published, you need to tear off your clothes and run screaming naked through the street, and then people want to read.
Unsurprisingly. But you have to go through it, right?
Yeah.
To sort of skin yourself.
Yes.
Okay, so but that whole process, it seemed like a process. I mean, I'm sure, as you say, it's been edited and curated and shaped.
Yes.
But the sort of scales falling from your eyes, and even right up to the end, there's more coming, there's more coming, there's more coming. I'm not going to ruin it for anyone to speak about some of your later revelations. But that process of exposing, you're exposing yourself, and as you say, you're really trying to, with yourself, first and foremost, because even as unreliable a narrator as we all are, as unreliable memories of our own and experiences, but insofar as you can, you are trying to present that, but you can't present other people's only insofar as you know. So what was the process like? Okay, great, we really want to publish this, and then it's okay, now you have to question, okay, so what is the purpose of memoir? Why am I sending this out? How am I sending this out?
I think I've got a lot of science in the book, mm-hmm. because I'm in a writing group with two older men, and they like to learn something.
So, and you're married to a scientist.
So once someone had come back and said they wanted the lies, I began to build the non-fiction element, and that was really enjoyable to think about lying and forgetting and deceit and why we do it, and to be able to use that in the book, so that I would love it if there was a place for every reader in there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because then, I mean, it does, not only does it sort of help justify your lies and everyone else in the book's lies, it sort of legitimizes lying.
Yes.
And allows us all to, you know, we go, Anchorman, it's science. You know, why do we lie? It's science. It's okay, you know.
But also, we need to be kind. I mean, if we were to tell the truth all the time, that would be very unkind. And to tell people they look as bad as they do, or any of those sorts of things, we need to be kinder to one another.
But even saying that, okay. So I think, you know, saying that people, you know, when I think somebody looks bad,
do you think
is
so?
Possibly a lie anyway, because that's just me thinking so.
True,
and I'm being
true.
Judgmental. And then why am I being judgmental about them? Is because I feel insecure about me. So even,
wow.
You know, saying
that's
that,
cool.
You know, is like the meta lies, you know. But yeah, I mean, it is difficult. And I think we all agree that finding common ground.
Yes.
And consensus and community is most of the time better than saying, you know, you're all shit, you're shit. You know what I mean?
If we
picked over everyone, who would
yes.
we be with?
But I think at the moment it feels like we need to have a lot more self-respect. We need to want people to be honest with us, and we need to want to respect others and tell them, and respecting others can be through kindness and being honest. But I think that's what I worry about most, is that perhaps we're losing our self-respect, and we should demand that people are honest with us who are leading.
Yeah, because there is, we know, okay, so I'm going to do a risky thing, and I'm going to say I was at an event with Prulith the night before she was announced as the Mary Berry's replacement on.
Okay.
Okay. And she was asked a point blank question, and she out and out 100% lied. There was no prevarication.
Oh, wow.
She said, no, it wasn't me. And the thing is, you know, she has to, right?
Okay.
Right? Because she can't say. All
right.
It's being announced the next day. It's a big deal.
Yes.
It's not for her to say. Why do we put people in that position?
True.
Where we expect the lie.
Yes.
So it's like, well, okay, so what should have happened in that situation? Should we have, I mean, because I understand the need for lying, but lying better, or...
But do you think that comes from the journalists who are asking that question, that they're in the desire for a story, they provoke more deceit than perhaps we
yes,
need?
Yes, because we're saying we demand the truth.
Yes.
And yet... we're not allowing for prevarication. It's sort of like,
yes.
You know, in The Life of Brian, are you a virgin? She, I don't know why that's personal. Oh, she is. You know, it's like we're going to assume it anyway. You know
yes.
what I mean? But so then why ask? And then why
yes.
put everyone through this charade?
Yes.
Say, you know, wait for the announcement. I have to wait for the announcement. You wait for the announcement.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, I don't know. Something there. We have to come, and I'm sure there was a more elegant way to deal with it.
Yes.
Than the easy, lazy lie.
Yes. Yes.
Like, let's... the lazy lie. The one where, you know, I'm not going to be hurt. It could be witty. It could be memorable. It could be elegant. Instead, we got the lazy lie.
Yes.
All right. So I'm betting some lying's good, expedient. Some lying, you know, we're going to do to ourselves. Where do you think this leads me to? Where do you think? What do you think your blind spots still are, even after all this? Like in terms of self lying and.
I'm so anxious and worried a lot of the time, and I think that my relationships with my brothers, I got them all wrong. They've been incredibly generous, but I'm still sort of stuck, aged 5, 6, whatever, thinking they're going to kill me, literally going to kill me. And that was good. That was the best thing about the book, was realizing that actually they're much better people than I ever thought.
And hopefully they think the same of you.
Well,
who can say? I did two more things. One thing that one of your brothers said that I thought was so interesting in terms of, I think about arguments.
Yes.
And I'm a much better arguer than my husband, but I am rileable. And so it's not really fair for me to have an argument, because I can eviscerate, you know,
okay.
I'm good at that. And so it's not fair for me to do so, but I'm like, so don't escalate. Don't get, you know, come on. You're, so why are we escalating? Why is this, you know, this stupid little thing turning into a thing, into okay. a big Megilla? And one of your brothers said, and I was like, oh, interesting. Like, I need to escalate. You can't win without escalation.
Yes, absolutely.
And obviously winning's the point.
Winning's the only point. Yeah. Or as my husband does, he just makes himself still on the road. You know, and that's the most irritating response, isn't it?
Yes.
When you can't win against that, a stone who's not responding at all. It's infuriating, absolutely infuriating. So he's learnt other survival skills.
And the other thing, and this, I hope it's not obnoxious that I asked it, but
nothing would be obnoxious, seriously.
But you're as you didn't find out relatively recently that your mother was illegitimate. And one of your brothers said that, I knew that, and I know who it is. Do you think he really knows, or do you think he was holding that as the power of the secret?
I think the power of the secret. Mm. I think that was a sort of a lie under duress. I think always to try and win. I mean, I think that's what was so fascinating was to think about us as winners and losers in the family, and that someone always has to win. But it means that, of course, then always someone has to lose. Mm-hmm. And that's how we always were.
Mm-hmm. That's how it was set up.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you, because there are a lot of pictures in the book, and there's, they tail off after childhood, but there is a picture of a note your mother wrote when she could no longer speak.
Yes. And I know, I couldn't believe I'd found it, and I don't remember her writing it. And yes, you have my full permission to write anything you want. Mom, that's so generous. so sweet. But also there's no love, Mum, or and she must have known she was dying, and
she couldn't hold up the
fiction any longer.
Yeah.
Yes, and incredibly generous, but also kind of seeing me for the first time as someone who was going to do it anyway, probably.
Well, thank you for doing it anyway.
Thank you so much.